I'd like you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us this morning. We're going to be looking at this entire chapter this morning, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." May we go to the Lord in prayer again. Father in heaven, we again approach thy throne of grace this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word and what it continues to instill within us and to teach us, to comfort us, to give us great peace. Peace in it can only be found in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, paid our sin debt, so that one day we can live with you for all of eternity if we'll just place our faith and trust in you as our Savior. I pray that you'll guide our hearts this morning. May our words be receptive to your word. May your words sink deep into our hearts. We pray, if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. I do pray that you guide and direct my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. The Lord was speaking to His disciples, His church, especially to His 11 disciples that were here. This was getting very close to His time of death. And these were words that, as He was feeling the weight of the awful load in front of Him, He wanted them to be comforted. Now, I said there was 11 that were here. If you go back into the previous chapter, you would find that Judas had betrayed Jesus, and he had gone to do the deed of setting up Jesus to be taken. So there's only the 11 that are gathered with him. And as he was concerned about, you know, even though that his going to the cross was coming quickly, his concern that they would follow forward and go forward and not lose sight, not lose hope, not lose faith in the fact that Jesus had come and he was there and he had taught them, he had lived with them for this 3.5 years. And as he looked in their hearts, he saw some things that were troubling them. He perceived that they were troubled because that one of the 12 would betray him. He just told them that one was going to betray him. And that also that their master was troubled. In fact, in John chapter 13 and verse 21 it says, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Is that this was a troubled time. They were troubled. And that he would remain with them only for a short period of time. In fact, in verse 33 of chapter 13, it says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall not seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." And then at the end of chapter 13, you find is that Peter had said, "Well, Lord, I'll go and die with you." And he says, "No, Peter, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Before the cock crows, you're going to not deny me 3 times. So these were things that were going on that Jesus was dealing with. Again, he's getting close to that time that he was going to be put on that cross of Calvary. And Jesus opened here in chapter 14. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You know, too often we as Christians allow ourselves to become troubled with all kinds of things in our world and all in our spirits. And oftentimes over the littlest of things we become very troubled. And sometimes this troubled spirit can cause our faith in the Lord to wane and to be weakened. And I will tell you, when that happens, when our faith becomes weak and wanes, Satan shouts for joy. When your faith in the Lord weakens in the Lord, Satan shouts for joy. But I've always found that when my spirit is troubled, and my spirit gets troubled from time to time, your spirit gets troubled from time to time, what do we do in response to that spirit being troubled? I turn to God's Word. I turn to prayer. Because I know that that's where I'm going to find hope. I know that's where I'm going to find strength. I know that's where I'm going to find peace and a calm assurance, knowing that the Lord cares personally for me. Anytime you ever get troubled in your spirit or worried about what might happen tomorrow, I encourage you to read this chapter, because I will tell you it brings a great amount of encouragement. In fact, one of the things that, as we're going to look in this chapter today, I'm going to give you five reasons that the Christian should not be troubled. Five reasons. And I also want you, as we step into this, I want us to remember that a troubled heart will have a threefold effect upon us. It will give us a doubting, fretful spirit that takes our joy from us. The second thing we'll do is it makes that which is bad worse. I'm talking about from a troubled spirit. And it also dishonors Christ. When we allow our troubles, when we allow our anxieties, our worries, when we allow these things to come into our path, and it starts to take over us, it dishonors Christ, because we are not putting our faith in Christ to walk with us through this path. Isaiah recorded this in Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Listen to what it says. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." This is a promise from God that for His children, He will be there through thick and thin, through fire, through water, through streams, through whatever we come in our path. Let not your heart be troubled. The first reason why a child of God should not be troubled is because of the prospective home that's awaiting us. Back in our text in the first three verses, it said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places that the Lord has prepared. If it were not so, I would have told you." He says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So think about this. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. If you're a child of God, He has prepared this place. It's a residence. It's where we're going to be. And one day, I am going to be in His presence. One day, I'm going to be in that place that He's prepared for us. John writes this in 1 John 3 and 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Not only has He prepared a place for us, but you know, He's got a new body waiting for me as well. A new body. A resurrected body. A body that is going to be free from sickness, free from sin, free from all the health issues that we have in our lives. All the decay and things that are alive. But also, so we have a place that's awaiting us. It's a prepared place. He says, "I go to prepare it." So specifically, I will tell you, you know, I've built a lot of things over my lifetime. I've built rooms. I haven't built a full house, but I've built a lot of things in houses. I know my mistakes. I've covered them up. I know what they are. But I'll tell you, this place that's been built by Jesus Christ, it has no flaws in it. It is perfect. It is a place of perfection. It's a prepared place. And in fact, is that with this is that as a child of God, we're reminded in Romans chapter 8 and 17, if we're children of God, we're what? We're heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. And so what we find here as a result is that as a child of God, God has a special place prepared for us. Now this starts our hope. This is one of the reasons, why a child of God should not be troubled. I know that I'm just sojourning, traveling through this land. You know, what does the Scripture say? It says that man will live some 70 to 80 years. Somewhere around there. Now, I've always told you about my 120-year plan. I'm starting to like the 70 or 80-year plan, okay? Because it just gets me closer to the Lord, alright? But my point is this, is that I know that He's prepared, and not only has He prepared it, He's got a planned reception. Because He said in verse 3, I will come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A planned reception. But I will tell you, in order for this to happen, you've got to know Jesus. You've got to know Him as your personal Savior. You have to have trusted in Him as your personal Savior. You know, there's a lot of people living in our world today that are distraught. They're troubled. They're wearisome. And they have no hope. And I will tell you the reason of it is because they've never trusted in Jesus. They've never repented of their sin. They've never placed their faith and trust. And they have no hope. But for every child of God, we have reason of great hope. We have reason of security because we know what's waiting for us. Soon may be 30 years. Soon may be 40 years. Soon may be 50 years. But soon, as a child of God, I know that I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. The second thing that we find is that we have a reason to hope and not to be troubled in our hearts is because of the perfect way. Look in verse 4 again. It says, and whither I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from whenceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long time with you that thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, Thou then show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Believe in the Lord. Do not be troubled in your path. Do not be troubled in your way because of the perfect way. Jesus said, I am the perfect way. Now, one thing we need to remember, it's not just the perfect way into salvation. He is the perfect way for life. Jesus is the perfect way for life. You know, we, as children of God, we get troubled, we get worn down at times, but we forget at times that we know the way. The way is set forth for us. The Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, follow my commandments. Follow my ways. It's a perfect way that He has given us. But in order to be able to get to the Father, we must get through the Son. We must go through the Son. He went to the cross of Calvary for us, and we must come to Him. He says, I am the perfect way. My Father sent me so that you might be saved. My Father sent me. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. That's what His Word continues to teach us. In fact, in 1 John 2 and 2 it says, and He is, talking about Jesus, is the propitiation or the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Only one payment for our sin debt would ever be accepted of God the Father. Only one payment, and that was Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary. You see, the thing is that many times we get troubled. People get troubled in their hearts saying, you know, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I hope I'm going to get there. I hope that I'm accepted of God. And that's even some Christians today. A child of God should never have to hope they're going to get to heaven. A child of God should never have to hope they're going to get to heaven. Amen? I'm saying that for a reason. Because I've talked to many people that claim to be children of God that they hope they're going to get to heaven. If you've trusted in Jesus, you've truly trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you are going to heaven. Amen? There is no if. Jesus said it so. Our hearts should not be troubled because He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And if you have trusted in Me, you are going to heaven. Because He says, I paid your sin debt. There's a lot of people that are trying to pay their own sin debt in order to get themselves right with God. You cannot do anything to get yourself right with God. You cannot do anything. But you can trust in Jesus, and He will get you right with God. If you trust in Him. By the way, coming through the Lord as a child of God, and again, for a child of God, is that this is the only approved way to the Father, and if you have gone through Jesus Christ, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God. You know the way. He's shown you the way. In fact, He said this in John chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. You see, as a result of trusting in Jesus Christ, is that you know that you have the way, you have the truth, you have the life because of Jesus Christ. Our hearts should not be troubled. I know that when I step into eternity, I know exactly where I'm going to be. I'm going to be better than Lazarus. Lazarus was taken to paradise. Then he had to go to heaven. I'm going to be like Paul, absent from this body and present with the Lord. Immediately upon leaving this body, I know where I'm going to be. Now you say, well, that you're talking about tomorrow, but you know, yes, I'm talking about tomorrow. You know why I'm talking about tomorrow? Because it helps me with today. Because I know where I'm going. I know that there's no water that's going to drown me. And I'm pushed away. I know that there's no fire that's ever going to burn me. That's ever going to burn me away. I know that there's no river that's ever going to take me and roll me away. I know there's no financial crisis that's going to take me and consume me. I know that there's no sickness in my body that's ever going to take me away from the presence of God. I know that there's no spiritual thing, no demonic thing that's ever going to take me from the presence of God because I know the way to the Father and it's through Jesus Christ. And I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. And if you've trusted in Him, you have the same way. You know if you've seen Jesus through the Scriptures and through your faith and through trusting Him, you know that one day you're going to be in the presence of the Father. Amen? So as a result, we have many reasons why we should not be troubled as children of God. The accepted condition to travel is by faith. We must have faith that one day that we are going to stand again. Jesus said this to Mary, or to Martha, after Lazarus had died. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. And I love this word in the Greek. This Greek word means anastasis. The Greek word is anastasis. It actually means resurrected. What it means is to stand again. That's what resurrection is about. I am going to stand again. And it says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in Me shall never die. And he asked, believest thou this? Do you believe this? Because if you lose sight of this, then your hope is going to wane. And Satan is going to shout for joy when your faith in the Lord wanes. The third thing that we find in the Scripture is that why we should not be troubled is because of the privilege of prayer. Look at verse 13 of our text and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Prayer is a great privilege that is afforded to all of God's children. When we offer up our prayers in faith and in His will, and that's a key statement, in His will, we will receive answers, we'll receive direction, guidance, leadership, and blessings. And in fact, it's recorded in 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now that's an important statement that you ought to hear this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you do not have the life of Christ. If you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you do not have the life of Christ. But everyone that has trusted in Jesus has the life of Christ living within him. He goes on to say, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." And this is the confidence. And I want you to hear this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we ask anything, if there's anything that's bothering you, anything that's troubling you, anything that's a weight upon you, anything that you're struggling with, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And it says in verse 15, "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the position, the petitions that we desired of Him." In other words, if you're asking in His name, now there's a lot of reasons why we pray unto the Lord. And I'm going to speak specifically to children of God. Many times we pray unto the Lord because of our own lust. I want something. I want something, and I want something, and I want something. But it's not necessarily the will of God that what you want. And as a result, when we don't get it, we get mad at God. "Well, why didn't I get it? I asked in Your name. In Jesus' name. I even said it. In Jesus' name." But was it in His will? What we ought to be asking, if it's in Thy will that I get this, Lord, would You afford me this? If it's in Your will. If it's not, then don't let me have it. There's been several things throughout my lifetime that I've wanted, and I didn't get it, and I was glad I didn't get it. Because I found out later, He would have done me more harm than good if I had gotten it. It's a matter of asking, is this in His will? Sometimes we go through storms, and here's our prayer. "Lord, get me out of the storm." It shouldn't necessarily be "get me out of the storm." It may be "get me through the storm." Because I know that when I come out on the other side of the storm, I know that I'll be better off for it because You went there, You held my hand, You went through me through this whole storm, and I learned much of You. The Scripture says it is a trying of our faith that makes our faith more precious. It's a trying of our faith. It's going through those hard times. But I will tell you this, when we look at the reason why that we shouldn't be troubled, I will tell you this, prayer is a sin killer. Now I want you to look at this in the positive. Prayer is a sin killer. "Quickly seek forgiveness for your sins." Yes, we all sin. We do. But I thank God it says that if we, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize only Jesus can forget your sins? I'll say that again. You realize that only Jesus can forget your sins. He can forgive, but He can forget. He says that they're forgotten as far as the east is from the west, right? Our trespasses. I know that we don't forget. We can forgive, but we don't forget. But He can forget. He has the power to forget. And the point is that when we pray unto the Lord, sometimes we get so bogged down by sin and by guilt and by this and by that. If we would just bring it to the Lord and confess it, and He is faithful to not only forgive us, but He is also faithful to get rid of it. Lay your burdens at His feet and don't pick them up and take them back with you. Leave them there with you, with Him rather. The psalmist wrote this, you know, David, a man after God's own heart, a man that did many things against God. He did a lot of things for God, but he did some things against God. And we know the situation that he, with the adulterous situation there with Bathsheba. And when it was brought to his attention, here was a man that saw that he had truly sinned against God. Here are some of his words recorded in Psalms 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest. One of the things as a child of God is that, yes, we may have sinned against God, but we have the praise of God that we can go to Him, we can confess our sins, we can agree with Him, and He will forgive us of our sin. He will restore our joy. He will bring us back into a right relationship. And I will tell you, this is one of the most important things that we have in the Lord, is prayer is a sin killer, because it destroys it, it pushes it down so that we can get back into a right relationship with the Lord. Prayer is also an obstacle remover. Remember what it says. If we pray in the Lord's name, pray in the Lord's name. It's an obstacle remover. Prayer and faith are required to remove obstacles. Jesus said this in the sermon in chapter 17, rather, of Matthew, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you if you have a grain of mustard seed. Now, why did he use a mustard seed? A mustard seed was one of the smallest seeds that there are. He says, if you have just that much faith in the Lord, there's no obstacle too big that he can't remove from you. It's an obstacle remover. Asking it in his name. But you know what also prayer is? It's a blessing bringer. It's a blessing bringer. Prayer for the right request will bring blessings. Prayer for the right request. In fact, think about this. In Matthew chapter 6, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says this, in starting verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But he says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. If you want to see prayer effective in your life, if you want to see prayer working, if you want to see the Lord working in your life, then you must seek the kingdom of God. Seek His path. Seek His ways. Seek His service. Surrender your life. Deny yourself. Take up your daily cross and follow Jesus. Our worries are often, is not really the cross that the Lord's given us to bear. It's the cross that we bear. That's where our worries come in. That's where we get troubled. That's where we get bogged down, is because we're carrying our own burdens. If you give your burdens unto the Lord, let Him take care of them, and then pick up the cross that He's given you, I'll tell you, your load will be a lot lighter. You can serve Him, you can praise Him, you can thank Him for your day. So we have the privilege of prayer. The fourth thing that I want to mention this morning is the fact that, why we should not be troubled as children of God is because of the powerful Spirit that not only was promised, but has come. Look at verse 15 of our text. Let's continue reading through this chapter. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him, and will make manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, the other Judas, look how it is that thou wilt manifest, or how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So what we find here is because of the powerful Spirit that will come, this was a promise that He was telling His disciples. Now again, remember that they were troubled. They had heard that someone, one of us is going to betray you. If you go back and read in chapter 13, Jesus said, do that which you need to go do. And they looked at Judas Iscariot and they had no idea that he was the one. If you read the scripture, it says they thought he had something to do with, because he was the treasurer. They thought he had to go and buy something, that the Lord was sending him on his way. They never looked upon Judas as being the betrayer. But they were troubled by the fact that Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And then he's been talking about his going to Jerusalem and his need to go down to Jerusalem. He's going to die. And he's speaking all these things. And he's bringing them. He wants to bring to them this comfort. And realizing that he knows he's going to be gone. He is not going to be walking with them on a daily basis as he has done over this 3.5 year period. But he did not want to leave them disheveled. He didn't want to leave them in a place where they felt all alone. And that's why he said, there is going to be another comforter. He was a comforter while he was here. But he says, my Father is going to send another comforter. And he is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come and he's going to indwell. He's going to lead. Now one of the things that he's speaking to is that he is speaking to his church. That the Spirit of God is going to come and he's going to be with his church. Now, there's two types of dwelling or indwelling. One is, there's the individual. The moment you were saved, the very moment you were saved, the Spirit of God indwelled you. The very moment that you trusted in Jesus as your Savior, the Spirit of God came and He washed you, He cleansed you, and He indwelt you. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, in whom also are ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So what does that mean? That means that as the moment you trusted in Christ, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that can shake us. That's why when we quote the Scripture, it says that he that is greater... my mind just went blank. Greater is He. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in this world. Amen? It's because we have Christ living within us. Greater is He. That is because we have the Spirit of God. If you say you have the Spirit of God, it's like saying I have Jesus. It's like saying I have the Father living within me. Because why? If you've known me, you've known the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Spirit. If you've known me, because why? We have three individual unique beings of one Godhead, the triune being. So to say that I have Jesus living with me is a true statement. To say I have the Spirit of God living within me, that's a true statement. And we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is the Word of God, and that came from the Father. We have God living within us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul reminds the Corinthian church there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I apply that one, first and foremost, to the individual. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Use it to honor God. But the second thing that we look at is that this is for the church. The Spirit of God is there in our center of our congregation. He is here indwelling us. And as we are here, He comes, He leads us to guide us and show us the way. We should not be troubled because, as children of God and as a local New Testament assembly, we should not be troubled because we have the Spirit of God resting with us. Here leading us, guiding us, showing the Word of God, telling us about Jesus Christ, how to follow Him, how to walk after Him, how to love Him. What does it mean to keep His commandments? I will tell you, we make keeping the commandments of the Lord grievous at times, but they're not to be grievous. With the Lord's guidance, He will show us how easy they are. You know why the following the Lord's commandments are grievous to us at times? It's because we're fighting all the way to do them. We're fighting them. We don't want to do them. The Lord tells us, this is what you need to do. I don't like doing it that way. I'm challenging you, God, because I don't like the way you're doing it. Give me a different commandment. Is that what we do? We don't maybe verbally say it, but that's really our actions are really following it out. If we would just come back and say, what are your commandments? I want to show you that I love you, and therefore I want to follow your ways. I want to follow your ways. I want to submit myself to your ways. I want to be led of the Spirit of God. We should not be troubled because we know that we have the Spirit of God that's here. Now I want to tell you also that one of the things that when the Spirit of God was given and what Jesus was saying that this Comforter is coming, it was not just about the day of Pentecost. A lot of times people relegate it all down to the day of Pentecost. What was unfolding was the church age. That was what was unfolding. That was the time of the Gentiles. You and I, we're Gentiles. And what we thank God for is the fact that His Spirit is here within our congregation. His Spirit is not only with us individually, but our Spirit is here with our congregation to do the things that God would have us to do. And what is the main thing that we have to do? We have the main thing is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Meaning go lead people to Christ. And once they've been won to Christ, we can't save them, but we can win them. We can show them Jesus. You see, when we turn our focus on the spiritual things, then a lot of our worldly things dissipate. When I'm speaking to people about Christ, I forget about my worldly things. I forget about the things that I have going on in my life. I forget about those things because I find and I realize those things are minutiae. They're nothing. And then I start to focus on the most important things. Souls being saved. Lives being changed. When my focus moves there, all these other things, that's what it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Go ye therefore and teach all nations that they need Jesus as their Savior. And when they have trusted in Christ as their Savior, the next thing that we need to do is teach them that they need to follow Jesus in baptism. They need to be baptized. They need to unite so that they can do what? So that individual can become a part of us. That we become stronger so that our voice goes out to more places. I will tell you, when we're following the ways of the Lord, that all of the things that are in our lives that are weighing us down is that when we do His service, then I will tell you it is uplifting because I know that the Spirit of God is there with me. He is with me individually, but He's also with us as a congregation, as a body, that we become formidable in serving the Lord. Think about it again of His comfort, His presence. He says, I'll give you another comforter. Jesus walked with them. Now the Spirit, but Jesus had boundaries. If Jesus was here today, unless He was here in our church today, He couldn't be over there. He couldn't be over there. And if He was over there, He couldn't be here. It would be difficult for Him to be our comforter here and a comforter over there because He limited Himself to one place, one space, and one time. But the Spirit of God has no boundaries. The Spirit of God can be everywhere. That's why He said it was important, it was necessary for Him to go back to be back with His Father. Because He needed to be here with us. He needed to be with that church over there. He needed to be with that church over there. He needed to be with our church here today. So that He could be here in our presence. Why is He here today? For two reasons. He's here today for two reasons. If you're not a child of God, He is here to convict you of your need of Jesus as Savior. If you're not a child of God, if you've never trusted in Jesus, He is here to convict you of the fact that you need Jesus. But if you are a child of God, He is to further instill that you are a child of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, He says. The Spirit of God helps us to understand that. He helps us to see Jesus with our own eyes through the words. He helps us to illuminate us, to give us that understanding. So He brings us comfort. He brings us His presence. And then He brings us also His teaching and His counsel. You see, I can only tell you so much because I have my limitations. I do. We all have our limitations. You ever tried to explain something to someone and you were just flabbergasted because they just didn't get it? Even though you tried to use all the words you could to use, you came from this direction, from that direction, and they just still can't get it. I praise God, the Spirit of God does not have that problem. He can show you and answer every question you have, and He will break it down to what you understand. You see, I'm trying to help you understand by what I know and what I think you ought to know. But sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes I don't get it because I didn't really understand what was being said. Even though you tried to use 100 different types of words and things to make me understand, I just didn't understand it. The Spirit of God does not have that trouble. Because I will tell you why. The Spirit of God knows you. The Spirit of God knows me. How many times have you sat down and you've read a passage of Scripture a few times and you just didn't understand it? You read it again. You read it again. You read it again. And you know why you didn't understand it? It's because you came in with the preconceived idea about what it said. And then you stood back and said, you know what, Lord? I've been trying this and praying about this, but I just don't understand this. I don't know why I don't understand it. Will you teach me? I will remove me out of the way, and I'm going to come back and read it afresh. And then all of a sudden you read it and say, why didn't I see that before? It's because the Spirit of God says you finally got yourself out of the way and you started to listen to me. We should not be troubled in our spirit. We should not be troubled because we know we have the Spirit of God to lead us in His Word. He will give us all understanding if we will let Him give us understanding. His teaching, His counsel. In fact, Jesus said this in John 14, and where we're at in verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In fact, it's recorded in John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. I will tell you, as the church age that we're in, we need the Lord's guidance. You know, our world is changing rapidly, isn't it? Society is in such an upheaval. Things that are going on, that which is good is called evil, that which is evil is called good. How do we deal with those things? We as individuals, how do we deal with them? I will tell you, it's a weight sometimes. You look at our world and say, how in the world can we even navigate? Should we just throw up our hands and quit? Right? I mean, isn't in our own weakness, that's what we believe? But then we come back and we start to see the Word of God. And we start to understand this. God's Word does not change. God does not change. He said, I change not. And you know, when we start looking at the world and we get ready to throw up our hands because we can't seem to make it have an effect, the Lord says, trust in Me. The Lord says, stay true to Me. He says, I change not. People are going to change. People are going to come and go. My Word changed not. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. My Word is just as powerful as it was yesterday. You would not believe at times that people who live in a life have lived in lifestyles that are completely against God, and they hear the Word of God for the first time and the Spirit of God convicts them and they trust in Jesus, and they come out of that and say, was I ever doing that before? My life has been changed and I want to change to serve God. I don't want to live in that lifestyle, but we look at sometimes the people in lifestyles and whatever they're doing against God and say, well, we're just writing you off. Well, no, they need to hear the same Word. The Spirit of God needs to speak to their hearts. The Spirit of God needs to touch them. And you and I, as we are in our lives, as children of God, there are times we get burdened down is because of the fact we've let the world weigh us down instead of doing what? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That should be one of the things that uplifts us every day to do what? To get out of bed. To get out of bed and to say, I'm going to serve You today. I'm going to serve You today. The worries of yesterday I'm putting behind me. I want to serve You today with the power, the energy, the life that You give me today. If You stood me up, I need to be asking, what do You want me to do for You today? If You stood me up, You brought me through another day, what do You want me to do for You? I will tell you, our worries, our fears, our troubles, they will go away if we trust by the fact is that we have the Spirit of God here with us, comforting us. The fifth thing that I want to look at this morning is that as a result, why we should not be troubled as a child of God is because of the abiding peace that Jesus gives. Look at verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto my Father, or unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, it come to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world," talking about Satan, "cometh and hath nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I," or "I do. Arise, let us go hence." So what do we have as a result? Is the abiding peace. This is a peace that settles the troubled heart. In fact, he said in 27, "Peace I live with you, my peace will I give you, for not this world cannot give you this peace." Oftentimes we try to look to the things of this world to give us happiness. We try to look to the things of this world to give us some peace and joy. I will tell you, you will never find peace that comes from anything other than Jesus Christ. I'm talking about true peace. Oh, you may have the emotion of happiness. You may have the emotion of feeling good, but I will tell you, it will not be the peace that comes from Jesus. Jesus gives you a peace that's satisfying. Jesus gives you a peace that is there that settles the troubled heart. The world cannot provide the type of peace that the Lord and His Spirit and His Word provides every child of God. Paul wrote this in Colossians chapter 2. He says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having given you forgiven you all trespasses." Now, think about what he says next. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." And think about what Paul was writing there. You know, oftentimes we look at our lives and we look at our trespasses. But I will tell you, every trespass that you've ever had and ever done, and it will ever done, it was nailed to the cross of Jesus. Now, Paul was also very clear when the rhetorical question that he asked, should we sin so that grace should abound more? Should we go out here with a license to sin? But his statement was, God forbid. You go out here, you test God, expect consequences for your sin, for your desire to do what you wanted to do. That was against God. God forbid. But I will tell you this, is that when you look at the fact and be reminded, is that all of the things that would have blocked you from getting into heaven, anything that would have blocked you from getting to heaven has been pushed away because of you trusting in Jesus as your Savior, I will tell you what that ought to do is help us on a daily basis understand that I can live for the Lord today. I can live for the Lord because all my trespasses were nailed to His cross. That ought to settle our hearts. All of my trespasses, there's not one thing that will keep me out of heaven once I've trusted in Christ as Savior. Amen? Not one thing can keep me out of heaven. I know that the very moment I pass from this life where I am going to be, that is only because of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with me. I just accepted His gift of grace. I accepted Him as my Savior. And that's the reason I have the confidence to know that where I'm going. And it reminds us that He blotted out all the handwriting of ordinances, all the things that where I was guilty, they were taken away so that I know that I can be in His presence. That's the peace that settles the troubled hearts. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is also the peace that we get from the Lord that satisfies the longing heart, longing to be with God. And I will tell you, I long to be with Him. Now, I'm not ready to go until He says I'm ready to go. Okay? When He says I'm ready to go, that's when I'm ready to go. The Apostle Paul struggled with that. Apostle Paul wanted to go with me, Lord, but he says, "As long as You want me here, Lord, that's what I will do. I will be Your servant here." But I long to be with Him. But I long to be with You also. I long to be with You also. And what I mean by that, I long to be with You here, but I also long to be with You in heaven. I will get to see you one day if you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior. But if you never trust in Jesus as your Savior, I will never see you again when I pass. I will never see you, or when you pass. But I will see every one of you if you trust in Jesus today. You see, this is something that the Lord is teaching us that satisfies. He satisfies the longing heart. In fact, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he says, "We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him." Because why? Because I want to serve Him. For as long as I have life and breath here on this earth, I want to serve Him. And I will tell you, the longer I serve Him, it helps me to long for Him. Hear what I just said? The more I serve Him, I long to be in His presence because I see how His hand works. But He also says this, that this abiding peace, it's a peace that sustains our very weary heart. Peace that even when our hearts are broken, that's why He said in verse 27, He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Romans tells us this, Romans chapter 8 and 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I will tell you, that is so important to me, to know that as a child of God, I've been adopted into the family of God. Nothing can break that. The Lord says, "You are in my hand, and I cast no one out." No one can break us out of the Father's hand. If you're a child of God, no one can separate you from the love of Christ. The Lord continually tells us, "If I'm with you, who can be against you? If I don't condemn you, who can condemn you? You're my child." Read Romans chapter 8. I truly believe that Romans chapter 8 is the love chapter to the child of God. Who can separate you from the love of God? No one can. Who can separate you from the love of Christ? No one can. Who can separate you from the love of the Spirit of God? No one can. Because we are His child. And I will tell you is that this is why these five reasons that we've looked at this morning is why a Christian should not be troubled. A church should not be troubled. But the question is, are you living with a troubled spirit? And if you are, seek the Lord in assurance and let Him lift the burden off your soul. Again, I want to read the first three verses of our text from this morning. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I will tell you, if you're troubled in your spirit, you're troubled in your soul, read this text. Read it continually. Read it often. Because the Lord says, "I go to prepare a place. I've given you the way. My Comforter is here. Peace I leave with you. And one day we will be together." You see, that ought to still our troubled hearts. That ought to still us in whatever storm we go through. That ought to still us. There should not be anything that sweeps away this joy, this purpose that the Lord has in our life because we know of our relation with Jesus Christ. But again, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, we invite you today because you can never have the peace of God until you personally know Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast, the Scripture says. You must trust in Jesus. And I will tell you, if you trust in Jesus and you follow Him, then your peace will come because it's His peace. Doesn't mean we'll never have trouble. The answer is no. We're still human beings. We've got the weight of the world to deal with. But I will tell you, I'd rather have the Lord holding up the weight than me trying to hold it up by myself. Amen? Let Him hold it up. Lay our burdens at His feet. And then we will have the peace that He wants us to have. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, Lord, I thank You so much that Your Word has taught us about You and who You are and Your care for us. As You were concerned about Your disciples there that walked with You, how that they were just the weight of the world was upon them, the betrayal, the going to the cross was in front of them, Lord, and they didn't understand it. You cared so deeply about them, but you care for us today in the same manner. And as you were giving them peace, Lord, you bring us peace today through your word. The same words that you spoke to them, speak to our hearts today. Lord, if we've been weighted down by the things of this world, Lord, I pray that we will get on our knees and just ask for you to take those burdens away from us and be lifted up in the peace and joy that only you can afford. But Lord, I still pray this morning for one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son, Jesus, as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.